Sit up nice and tall. Scan down your body, let go of tension as you go. No rush. There's some areas where there's a lot of tension. Spend more time there. As you scan down your body, let your awareness land more and more in your physical form. Not pushing it or trying to make it do this, just allowing. And when you reach the soles of your feet, start to scan back up your body, bringing your mind back over and over to the object, which is whatever point you're at in your body scan. Pure awareness of that point. No story behind it or idea of whether something is good or bad. Simply awareness. When you reach the crown of your head, bring your focus to your breath, how it moves your chest with each inhale, each exhale. Infuse your awareness with a joy, a love for life, for yourself. And whether you realize it or not, it's amazing to be in a class like this. The longer we study Dharma, the longer you study Dharma, you'll realize it's very rare to have the interest or the karmic seeds to be here. There's a lot of people who aren't here. And just like the Abhidharma Kosha that we're studying is called a treasure house. Treasure house of knowledge. Getting that sense that you've happened upon this priceless jewel. That maybe you don't even know the value of yourself yet. Starting each class with that sense of gratefulness, or each meditation that way. It plants the seeds so that it stays in our life. And so if that's something that you want, as we end this meditation, dedicate all the merit of coming here, sitting, of listening, struggling with ideas, to being able to continue studying with the ultimate goal of being completely free of suffering. Completely free so that we can be of ultimate benefit to others. Ready, you can open your eyes, start to move. Okay, so welcome. Class 2.
Are you recording?
Yes. Dasha told me about this amazing tea that stops allergies.
Did it work?
Yep, it totally works. And I gave it to this guy at work who has crazy allergies, and it worked for him too. It's just nettle and peppermint that I got in the bulk bins at the co-op. You just do I just do half and half in one of these little tea balls that they have right there in front of all the bulk. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And then I usually add local wildflower honey too, but that's not the key. It's the tea. It's really cool. Okay.
How long did it take for it to work?
Not long. Like, by the time I had my windows open in my place, because it was kind of stuffy, I didn't want the AC. So I have a little bit of allergies right now. By the time I'm done drinking this, they'll be totally gone. And I only had one other cup this morning. It's really cool.
So it's like if you're having an allergy attack and then you drink it, it helps it calm it down.
Or if you just drink it preemptively, it won't come.
All day long, will it last if you drink
it? It lasts. I only had one this morning at like 8. And
so
then it lasted.
The rest of the day too. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it lasted the whole day. Okay. So, who remembers what school we're in this course? What school of Buddhist study? There's like the broader category, which is Hinayana. And then,
okay.
And then what's the more specific school? Remember we went over those four Indian schools last week. It starts with a V in Sanskrit or a D in English.
It's not like the functionalists, that one. Like, it's in that list. Okay. Starts with V in English.
Yep. It's like not general, but very
detailist.
Yep. And in Sanskrit, it's Vaibhashika. So Hinayana, some people also call that Theravada. And what is the main book that we're studying?
Abhidharmakosha.
Yep. And who is that book by?
Master Sangha.
His half-brother.
Oh, Master Vasubandhu.
Yes, Master Vasubandhu. Okay, then one more review question. The commentary we're using who knows who wrote it? We're on the 14th one now. Mm-hmm. So it was the first Dalai Lama, and his name was Gyalwa Gendun Drup. And the commentary is Illumination of the Path to Freedom, Tarlam Selje. And Gendun Drup was a student of who? Main figure in our lineage. Yep, student of Jetsangkhapa. And Gendun Drup, his dates were 1391 to 1474. Do you remember what Jetsangkhapa's dates are?
1419.
That's the end.
And his beginning is 1367 to 1419.
I think it's 1357.
1357?
I had it in my mind. And then when you started saying it, I forgot it. I'm pretty sure it's 1357 to 1419.
Yeah, because he was like 60-something when he died.
Yeah, and Gendun Drup was around towards the end of his life, towards the end of the Dalai Lama's, or Jetsangkhapa's life. Okay. Oh, okay. All right. So this week, we're going to be talking about basic kinds of karma. And I think we'll have time at the end to listen to His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, and we'll listen to a little teaching from him. It's just about 5 minutes long, and then we'll talk about that. We should have time to do that. All right, so the opening line of the fourth chapter of the Abhidharma Kosha, say, Lele,
Jikten,
Nasok, Ki. Lele Jikten, Nasoki. Okay. Lele is karmic deeds and from. Jikten is basis to be destroyed. Nasok is various, multitudes, many different kinds. And then ki is they come. In Tibetan, we translate from the back to the beginning. Who wants to guess what this sentence means? The first word would be the last, basically.
Karmic deeds come from many different things.
Close. It comes down to karmic deeds cause the multitude of worlds. Basically, karmic deeds cause everything.
And everything that's basis to be destroyed. Like, that's basis to just... So, in that translation?
Mm-hmm.
So, I see that. So, karmic deeds, you know... So, but like the basis to be destroyed is like that's everything, or like the world, or that part of the translation.
I believe they come, the ki,
mm-hmm.
is referring to the world.
Okay.
Basis to be destroyed. I don't really know.
Okay. Can you say the translation again?
Karmic deeds cause the multitude of worlds. Karmic deeds come from basis to be destroyed.
Because it's so funny, like, when you read the translation like that, it's like, they come, it's totally, like, they come is totally different than the cause to me, like, those words don't.
Uh-huh.
That seems like the exact opposite, actually.
They come would be, like, create.
Yeah, create versus cause. It's like a total, I guess, yeah, that's more similar.
Yeah. Basis to be destroyed.
Well,
I think it seems like it's the idea of cause there.
Yeah. Or I guess... I don't know, like, maybe knowing, like, karmic seeds ripen and then get destroyed. And so, like, it's like our entire world is created by, like, these causes that are, like, destroyed, you know, that are constantly being destroyed. And so...
Mm-hmm. Everything changes.
Everything's changing. So maybe that's what makes us to be destroyed. It's, like, that changing.
Yep.
Constantly changing thing, but that seems
that
like a
be.
Really intense like thing to have to know for the first line of the book.
Yeah, and that's what Geshe Michael goes on to say, is that this is the most important line of the whole chapter.
Oh, okay.
That
they get down to business, these Tibetans.
Yeah, and it's a huge statement. It maybe doesn't seem that big to us, but we'll get into it more. This is saying that karma causes everything. That is the cause of everything. And this is not how we live, mostly, you know, seemingly. So, karma comes from the Sanskrit word dur, which means to do something. Our body, so jikten, our body is a jikten. Our world is a jikten. It'll perish and collapse. Oh, basis to be destroyed must be world,
mm-hmm.
not they come.
Okay.
Because it's saying our world, jikten is our world, it'll perish and collapse.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure, but that's what it seems. So jikten can also mean a planet. in Buddhism, there are many levels that we cannot see in each planet. This is really cool. They have their own hell realm, pretta realm, partial hell realm, deity realm, and mostly you can't see any of it. And there's, I think in our world, we have kind of a sense that there are different things that exist that we can't see. Maybe spirits or ghosts. Possibly like the idea of angels or holy beings that are helping us that we can't see. We have a little bit of a sense of that. It's not a big part of our culture, so we don't have a big sense of it. Whereas other cultures, like in Tibet, they really believe in those things, and it's a big part of their life, and they really believe it. It's not like when we hear it and we think, I don't think so, really. It's only because we've grown up in a culture that we don't believe that. And I remember my parents' teacher, Gelug Rinpoche, saying that because of that, we don't have that many spirits here. Which, that could be a good thing. They're not all good and helpful. But he said in Tibet, they have a lot because they believe in them. I don't know exactly how that works technically, but...
I mean, it makes sense. It's an interesting thought. Like, I would go where people saw me and respected me and like wanted to be around me.
They make offerings and...
How is that any different than like me as a human? Like, I'm not going to go to some place that doesn't want me.
Yeah. Or, yeah, that doesn't even acknowledge you and think you're there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah. Yeah. So this line is the most important. Oh, he says in the whole Abhidharma Kosha, not just the fourth chapter. Because this, we'll get into it a lot more, but this is the basis of living in a correct way. If everything comes from what we do, if we're causing everything, then the question is, then what are we supposed to take up and what are we supposed to give up? What things do we do and not do? And we'll get into that more. We'll get into that a lot more next class too. All right, so last course, we went over past and future lives. And going through that course for you guys, you come out of that with some idea that we continue on after this life. And that's actually based on an idea of karma. And the main proof of that is that each moment is caused by the moment before. And then you trace that back, the first moment in this life caused by the moment before. And then once you open the door that way, there's no beginning and there's no end to lifetimes, different reincarnations. Mind stream keeps going and going and going and going. And that's a really big subject, but that it boils down to that idea. So now, in this class, we're going to focus on our actions and what we do. And that's why it's really an interesting topic, because we're doing stuff all day long, whether we want to or not. All day long we're planting karmic seeds just by being alive and having a mind and going through the world. And if we can get some kind of instinct or feeling that everything we're doing is creating our world, which that's more the idea of emptiness, which will be next course, and that our world is fluid, it could become anything based on the karmic seeds that we've planted. And in just a really general way, we can think of this in our lifetime. Have things happen that we never could have imagined happening? And do things happen quickly that we're not making them happen in the present? If we were making them happen, only good things would happen if we were in control right then. So we'll get into this a lot more too. All the things that we like and we don't like all came from karma. which means they all came from deeds that we did at some point. Maybe not this lifetime. The feeling of the air conditioning, if we like it or not, if we like President Trump or not, all from karmic seeds. And this being Master Vasubandhu's first line, who did we say he was mostly fighting with or debating in this text?
Swatantrakas?
No, but...
No. Wait, because he wrote this book because he, like, said something bad about the school, right?
About the Hinayana, yeah.
The Hinayana school. And so, like, as a makeup activity, he wrote that
Abhidharma. Mm-hmm.
But it's a group of Indian people. Oh, no, they, yep. That was last class? Oh, okay, yeah.
It's... A lot of times that's what it is.
Yeah.
There's, he's mostly fighting against non-Buddhists in his time, and they're mostly Hindus. Mm-hmm. So ideas that they have. And what he's fighting against are three ideas. And these are the three categories of what people believe caused the world. This is not just what people in Master Vasubandhu's time believe caused the world. These are the things that we believe caused the world. We all have these beliefs in some way, and a lot of them are really big in our society. So it's not like it's just some ancient debate that doesn't have any bearing on us today. These are the things that we think. Okay, first one, say Gyu Takpa.
Gyu
Takpa.
You talk about.
So that is original cause. This is like matter forming, or you could say similar to our idea of the Big Bang theory. And I don't know where scientists are on the Big Bang these days. Because it's always changing, but at a certain point, they thought that there was no cause for the Big Bang. And then I think after a while they thought there were other little Big Bangs before. And I don't know where it is now, but it's similar to that idea.
This one. So there's no cause?
Basically that there's...
Or it's just random.
It's like an uncaused cause.
Oh, okay. Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. That's why a lot of these are confusing, because they don't make sense, because they're not true, and we're trying to understand something that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Because how can anything be uncaused? It just appears out of nowhere. And this idea we get really well because of the scientific world that we live in. That everything has a cause. That's not so hard for us. Nothing, and it doesn't make sense either if we think about it. Nothing just appears from nowhere. There has to be things that bring it about. It comes from somewhere. I think even if we think about something appearing out of nowhere, in our minds, we're still thinking that it's coming from somewhere. Like some fairy realm or something, and it's
like
beamed down, or...
Yeah, at least it was somewhere else before, and then it came to...
Yeah.
Here. Like, it... Yeah.
Just the
maybe
thought...
The cause, like, it just decided to move or something.
Yeah. Just the thought of something materializing out of nothing, I can't even really wrap my mind around it. Okay, second one, say Soho.
Soho.
And this means main or primal energy. This is basically the idea, kind of like a New Age idea, that energy causes everything. That energy caused the world, or there's like some primal force that's causing the world. It's not a person or a being, but more like, I don't know, maybe you could think of it as electricity, something like that. Mm-hmm. Or just a general energy in the world.
That doesn't have, like, cognizance or...
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the third one, say Wangchuk.
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 And this one is very familiar to us, creator being. And what Master Vasubandhu is referring to here, because he's talking to the non-Buddhists or Hindus, is Indra or Ishvara, who are is a Hindu god. So, in the opening line, which we just had the slide before, which is that deeds cause the multitude of worlds. Basically, karma causes everything. I think it is actually karma causes the multitude of worlds. Yeah. Karmic deeds cause the multitude of worlds. He says that first, and then he says, and these three things are not the cause. Big Bang is not the cause. Some sort of primal energy is not the cause. And a creator being is not the cause. So he says, what is the cause? And then he says, what is not? What he's refuting. And the reasonings for this, we went over in our last course. So the idea of Gyutakpa, which we talked about a little bit, like the Big Bang Theory, something like that, but nothing came before it. As we said, it's an uncaused cause. And in Buddhism, if it's uncaused, it's unchanging. And that makes even less sense that there could be a Big Bang just out of nowhere. And then Sōwō is like, the reason it's really hard to describe because it doesn't exist. I think that's why it's hard. So they believe that this primal energy had a permanent and impermanent part, and it created the world. So it has a permanent and impermanent, a changing and unchanging part. And this sounds totally wacky, but it's actually how we live our life a lot like this. We think that things change sometimes, and then they don't change other times. Even just in our language. Like, what's new? Nothing, everything's the same. Nothing's changed. Everything's changed all the time. It's always changing. But we go through our life thinking like this. Everything's the same right now. It's not. And then, oh my gosh, everything changed. When in fact, everything's changing all the time. There's not a time where everything stops and then it starts changing again. Things are either changing or they're unchanging. It's not a mix of the two. And this one is something that we have to think about, because we live our lives in a different way, usually just not even thinking about it, because we haven't really analyzed it most of the time. But even when we're sitting and feeling bored, like there's nothing to do, everything's still changing. Breath, if nothing else, breath is moving in our body. Our body's aging. The things around us, the karma is slowly wearing out in everything. This will break down, and then sometimes things are coming into being. Or being created. So there's constant small deaths, rebirths in each moment, each second, each minute, each hour that goes by. Okay, and then there's Wangchuk, who's a god or creator being. And then those are the three things, according to non-Buddhists, that cause the world. According to Buddhists, what caused the world? But what does Master Vasubandhu say specifically in the first line? Karmic deeds. So yeah, it has been going since beginningless time, and the things that we're doing are planting the seeds for how we're seeing the world. And we're gonna get into more details on that too. Okay. So there's two arguments against these three ideas. And you guys, you didn't come to much of the last course, right? You were at school. Was that last course? Okay. So from the last course, Lauren, you might be the only one who knows this. You never know. You do.
Okay.
There were arguments against these three in the last course. Mm-hmm. And we went over a lot of arguments in the last course.
I know. It was a very argumentative course.
It was. do you remember any of them? Any of the ideas, like the main ideas?
Yeah, I remember like the creator being, it didn't make sense because a creator being who's like all-knowing and who created everything and is like unchanging and is just like there, it like doesn't make sense because to create something you have to change.
Yeah, yeah, so exactly.
Didn't make sense. I mean, the original cause one is like that. I don't really remember the argument, but like just like a moment of consideration. And then I can't remember the primal energy argument.
Yeah, the one that the change, basically we're saying that the God is changing and unchanging,
yeah,
which doesn't make any sense, which we were talking about. And then we also, this one, I think this argument's really tricky. It's something that we have to think about a lot. So, if a creator being, if some sort of being, whatever it is, okay? Like, if it's, we'll go with the God. We'll go with the God. If God created the world, and God created everything, why would things happen in succession? Why would there be time? Why would it seem like things come from the previous moment, if God was in charge? So God decides to create the world. Why wouldn't he just do it all at once? Why would, I believe it, the Bible says it took seven days, something like that. Why would he take 7 days? If he's all powerful, why wouldn't he just do it all at once? What would be the point? And that can seem like, that can really not make sense to us because we've grown up with this idea of it being true. But take it, think about it, and turn it over in your mind, and it'll happen slowly. It'll start to sink in a little bit more. When I heard this again recently, I still didn't really understand it. And then I talked about it with my parents, and I thought about it more, and it started to sink in a little bit more. Like, if you could do something all at once, why would you drag it out? Just anything, even that we do in our world. If we could think about it, like, if I could easily do this all right now, why would I stretch it out over 7 days? Or over however long the world's been around? What would be the point of that? And why would I stretch it out and make it look like things were being caused by other things? So if going to school brings about being educated in a certain way, it seems like education's coming from going to school. Why would it have to happen like that? Why would there be a succession? And this idea is a problem if we believe in a creator God. There's no reason for something to have to come before something else to happen. If God's in control, if he's doing everything. But mostly we mishmash different worldviews together. Some things are karma. Some are creator God. Usually the third is who knows why. No reason. And we just switch between the three, which isn't a logical way to live our lives. It doesn't make sense that we just decide why things happened.
I mean, it based feels on so what, logical in the moment, though.
Yeah. And I don't think we even recognize that we're doing it until we look back.
What's the whole thing about praying and then almost miraculously things happen in your life that almost answer that prayer almost immediately in a miraculous way? A feeling like, okay, how did that happen? How did that happen?
Yeah. So what we're talking about here is why these are not the reason why things happen. It's not the Big Bang that created the world. It's not a primal energy. It's not God. It's karma. It's the things that we've done that create the world. So when you're praying and really, you know, wishing for something to happen, when we have the karmic seeds for it to come about, then it does. And it does a lot of times feel like a miracle or amazing that this happened. And that's a great thing because we planted karmic seeds that are bringing that up in our life.
But praying wasn't necessarily the cause.
Yeah, it wasn't
just
the cause.
Just happened close together is like more of a coincidence.
It's not that it has nothing to do with it, but it's not the main cause of it happening.
But it's part of it. Like, so it's...
It's like when you... This is the easiest analogy that I've heard for me to understand. When we plant a seed, a literal seed in the ground for tomato tree, or whatever tomatoes come on. Tomato plant or whatever. The praying would be like watering the plant. Or the sunlight. Or fertilizer. That's not what causes... it's not the cause of the plant growing. The seed's the cause. Without the seed, there would be no plant. It's kind of like more of a condition, like a supporting factor.
What would be the main seed?
That's the tricky part. Because...
Oh, yeah, you didn't learn about it in Langi Gyu.
Yeah. Yeah, because karma is a deeply hidden thing that we can study and learn to a certain degree. But it's more hidden than the idea of emptiness, that things are not self-existent. And only a Buddha sees exactly why things are happening. But we can extrapolate from what happens. Where did this come from? So it depends what happened. Depends what the result was. And then it's really cool the way we work with it. We can talk it out with like a Dharma friend or a teacher, or we can journal about it, that sort of thing, and think about, okay, if this came to me, this new job, what would be the cause of me getting a new job? Assuming this is a good, we'll assume it's a good thing. I wanted this job and I got this job. So we can think back and think, okay, well, I helped a friend get a job. I was really happy when my friend got promoted. I supported a friend and looked at their resume. It could be something like that, and we'll come to something along the way that just feels like it's the right thing. And in a way, we can work with it from that point. okay, that's what caused this, and I'm going to make sure that I do that again so that I can see this in my world and see people around me having the same thing. So that's how we can more work with it. So we're saying that these are not the cause of the world. Karmic deeds are the cause of the world. So Master Vasubandhu is arguing against these people that think that those are the things that cause the world. Okay. So what we mentioned before are there's things called jikpas, and they're shadows or obscurations. And they're, we talked about this before, they're the presuppositions that we grew up with. They're things that we've heard from our childhood that we take to be true, maybe for no other reason than that we've heard them for a long time. We maybe haven't thought about them very much. Like the idea that, and our mind's totally soaked in these things. We can't even see it because it's all around us in our environment. It's in media, it's in movies, it's in books, it's everywhere. So it's not something that's easy to start to think another way. So a lot of times these arguments that we're talking about, they sound a little funny and maybe not true, which doesn't mean that they aren't true just because they sound that way to us. And over time, we can start to look at it more. And each of us investigates and looks into it and sees if it holds up. So do these ideas hold up for me in my life? Just because the Buddha taught them, we're not supposed to take his word for any of it. We're supposed to check it out ourselves and see if it works. Is this true in my life? Does this make sense? Is this helpful? So there's really, we grew up thinking that the world came from some being, most likely from God. And there's really no evidence or much logic to it, and it isn't true, but that's what we've grown up with, that there's this guy that we can't see, and he's running this whole show. He's running the whole show. So if we want our world to change, if we want our world to be happy, and we want to remove suffering from our world, not just for us personally, for everyone that we see, for everything around us, then we have to come to a strong intellectual understanding that our world comes from our actions and what we do. And we start to do that by studying in these classes and then by practicing these ideas in our lives. And mostly, the more you study, you'll see that the ideas that are brought up and what we're told to do, none of it's a bad thing to do. None of it's a bad idea. And most of it, if nothing else, is going to lead to us being a better person, really. So to try out all these teachings, the only risk is maybe going through some discomfort and changing some habits. And then if we find out after sincerely practicing that it doesn't work, then we try something else. We're not stuck, and we're not signing up for life. But from what I've experienced, sincerely practicing these teachings brings about the results that they promise. And we only know that through our own practice. It's helpful to hear me saying that to a certain degree, but we have to do it for ourselves to really know and to really understand. Okay, so the reason we have to come to a strong intellectual understanding that our world comes from what we do is because as long as the other thought, that there's a God or someone doing things to me, as long as that's there, we won't really act properly. We won't act in the way that's going to bring happiness and joy and love into our lives, and then we're going to see it around us too. We won't act that way because we're not really accepting the idea. So in a way, we have to give up all the old ideas and think, this world came from what I did, and my future depends precisely on what I do now. And I think that's a huge relief, because I'm in control of my future. There's nobody else making me do anything. There's nobody else pushing something on me. I'm the one who creates everything, which is a huge freedom. It can also feel like a responsibility. There is some sort of comfort if the idea of God is that he's looking out for me and only doing good things. That's comforting. So there is a comfort. The God who's doing messed up things to me, I don't think that's much of a comfort. But he's usually doing both. So there is a comfort in that. But it doesn't make sense it's just not a logical idea that there's someone that we can't see who's pulling the strings and who's doing messed up things to people all the time, but yet he loves everyone. It's messed up. It's a messed up idea. Yeah.
So you were saying, like, say you get a job that you really wanted, it was because of, like, things you did, like you helped someone with a resume and you prayed for a friend to get a job or
mm-hmm.
things like that. So what about if something bad happens to you? Was that, like, what's the cause of that?
It would be similar. Like if I don't get a job that I want,
uh-huh.
Like we're approximating the causes. We don't always know for sure, as I was saying, but it would come from something along the lines of the opposite. A friend I know applied for a job, and I was really happy she didn't get it. I was happy she wasn't successful. I didn't want her to get a job because then, I thought I'd feel worse about myself. Or I purposely sabotaged someone from getting a job. I told the manager something bad about them that wasn't true. It could be something more subtle than that. If I didn't get the job, maybe I'm just really competitive and not happy with others' successes in general. So it would be mostly the opposite of the ones that we said were the cause for getting the job. So it depends what the job means to us too. If the job means financial freedom, then it could be stealing from someone that caused me not to get the job. If it means a greater sense of worth, then the cause of not getting the job could be something like gossiping or being really prideful. That could be the cause. So it's individual. When we work with it in our own experiences, it's helpful to think about it like that. What does this mean to me? How does it feel when this happens? Because it'll feel differently to everyone. Something that we think is terrible, the person who's experiencing it might actually think it's a good thing. It's just, it's really subjective. Does that make sense? Okay. Okay. So basically, why we're talking about this is to get back to the purpose of the book, which is to get us all out of suffering. No more unhappiness, no more crappy things happening, no more sickness, no more old age, no more death in the way that we think of it. That's the purpose of this book. And what we're talking about here is all part of the Four Noble Truths. This is actually the first noble truth, that life is suffering.
Hmm.
So now we're talking about, on the other side, he wants to prove that it came from karma. So right now we were just talking about it did not come from these three things. Now we're going to go to what it did come from. So I think we actually don't have that much material in this course. But we'll go for like another 5 minutes or so, and we'll take a break. Okay, say Dēni.
Dēni.
Sempa.
Sempa.
Dang.
Dang.
Dēje.
Dēje.
Sempa.
Sempa.
Yīqī lèi.
Yīqī lèi.
Yīn nǒ.
Yīn nǒ.
Okay, so this is kind of a long one. Dēni.
Dēni.
That, meaning karma. And then sempa, movement of the mind. Dang is and. Dēje, what it does or motivates. Sempa, movement of the mind again. Yīqī lèi, karma of the mind. And yin no is. Okay. He's going on to explain the source of existence. So, this is actually kind of similar to the last one. Do you want to take a guess at what it means?
Is it, karma is the movement of the mind of what follows?
Yep.
Yep.
I think we've heard that
all the time.
In other courses. Yeah.
Yeah,
totally. Karma is the movement of the mind, which would be mental karma, and what follows, which would be speech and deeds. So sempa, which is movement of the mind, is always present in the mind. The motivator or the source is sempa. Movement of the mind is what mental karma is. So saying a bad joke or moving my hand or my arm. Movement of the mind is the driver of those things. So body, speech, and mind, the three doorways, are the only ways that we can express ourselves. Okay. So, the most basic division of karma is into two. There's motivating karma and motivated karma. So say, sempa yīqī lèi.
Sempa yīqī lèi.
And then, sempe jepa.
Sempe jepa.
This is pretty straightforward. Motivating karma are the thoughts that you have. Motivated karma is what we speak or do, physical things after thinking it. So the thoughts are motivating, and then what we do is the motivated karma, basically the result in a way. So these are the two most basic types of deeds, thinking and what we do because of thinking.
And what we do because of not thinking.
Or misthinking. Okay. Speaking and acting are all considered the second kind of karma. One is the thought that's running the show, and the other are the deeds that come out. And the thought doesn't need to necessarily be a long one. It can be some split second movement, and then we do something. Almost like we didn't even think about it at all, or there was no movement of the mind. And my understanding movement of the mind, which was on the last one, and what follows. There's all sorts of movements in our mind that we have that aren't crystallized thoughts as we think of them. And I believe, I don't know for sure, this is my thought on this. I think that that's what motivating karma is. It's not that we have like a clear thought in our mind and then we do something. It's there's some movement in our mind that then pushes us to do something. It could be some small little thought that we don't even really register that comes up, or that we don't even remember having, that sort of thing. But
I was
this is.
About that last night.
You were what?
Elaine was talking about that last night, how we don't notice what we're thinking.
Yeah.
A lot of times, yeah.
A lot of times I don't even remember things that I've said or done. Yeah, it's such a funny thing. Because we're there the whole time.
It's...
Hello. It's almost as though we're absent for whatever happened. Which maybe in a way we are. For not remembering it. Okay, let's take a break. Motivating and motivated. Yep. Okay, so about 5 minutes, and then we'll come back. Okay.
I'm Lauren. Were you here a couple weeks ago on the Tuesday? For the nonviolent education?
Yeah.